Hello, everybody. This week at Flaring Films, we're talking about the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Hit the music.
We're with the Mario Brothers, and plumbing's a game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers.
Hey, I'm Michael Flaherty.
And I'm Colleen Flaherty.
This week, we're talking about, can you believe it, the Super Mario Brothers movie, which is a real film.
And what is the name of this podcast?
This podcast is called Flaherty's, wait for it, on films, where we
we're not in the films, we're discussing them.
Yeah, and Flaherty is like our last name. There's a lot. We'll just skip past that.
Michael, what is Super Mario Bros, which, by the way, it is the official title, is that it is shortened that way. Super Mario Bros.
Period. Not. Yeah.
Tell us what it's about.
What, the games or the film? Well, let's start with
film. The film. Okay. It's on the 1993 film.
Two Brooklyn plumbers, Mario and Luigi, must travel to another dimension to rescue a princess from the evil dictator King Koopa and stop him from taking over the world. That's crazy. Did he ever try to take over the world? He tried to get out of the dimension.
Okay. So, yeah. Remember, he was going to merge the dimensions.
I remember that.
And then use his de-evolution machine to de-evolve all the humans so that he can easily overtake them.
That seems like logistically very hard, because to de-evolve someone, you have to put them in the chair, right?
Yeah.
And stick their head. So how?
Except when he devolved that guy into a monkey, that seemed easier.
Okay,
that seemed like a non-chair process. But yeah, to devolve everyone does seem like
that's a lot of work. Chore. You could just shoot them all.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like a bomb.
You could just kill
easy.
Them.
Right. What about devolving is especially useful?
Now, is that really the problem with this film? Thread that you need to pull at for the sweater to unravel?
What were your initial thoughts of the Super Mario Brothers? Hey, can we just say, though, for context, for people who just have no idea what the fuck we're talking about, Super Mario Brothers is a series of video games that were out in the 90s. And we, as children, actually played these games. So we do have some familiarity with this.
And Mario games exist today.
They exist today, but this movie came out in 1993, and the popular entries at the time were Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3, which
we had Game Boys.
Man. We owned and played. So, yes. We have familiarity with this.
I was aware that this movie existed and that it was famously terrible. And for folks at home are like, well, that sounds interesting. Well, you can't stream it anywhere.
You cannot. It's really hard to find.
You can buy an overpriced DVD from Amazon.
Go ahead. So what were your initial thoughts?
So I was saying, going into it, I was familiar with the franchise, and I'm familiar that this is a bad movie. Mm-hmm. I did not anticipate how ambitious and how much work and half-assery can go into one product. Mm-hmm. It's quite, I think it was an incredible thing to watch. And I'm still, days later, working out my feelings. Tell me what your initial impressions are.
Yeah, I knew it would be bad, but it's like, well, hopefully it's not boring and hopefully it's just kind of silly and just weird. But it is silly and weird, but it's not like so amazing that you're like, oh, just laughing at it the whole time. Because I sort of have a void of feelings. I don't know what I feel. I said to you guys after we finished watching, I don't think anything even happened. I mean, I feel like I just have no feelings. Like much happens, but it's like, what happened?
Yeah, it also felt like it didn't need to be a Mario movie. Which is something. Something to say. The nods to the video game were very sparse and weird. Here's an example of how much they missed the mark on adapting the movie. So Mario in it has a super hot girlfriend, like way too hot. And her name is Daniela.
Mm-hmm.
Not once does Bob Hoskins say, oh, Daniela, what a peach. Like, they could have just done that.
You should have wrote the movie.
I should have written the movie, right? Like, they couldn't even do that.
Princess Peach was the name of the princess in the Nintendo game. who I think actually at the time was called Princess Toadstool, and she was named Peach later.
I think she was Peach by this time. Really? Like, I mean, yeah, because there were the Super Nintendo Mario Kart games and stuff. So, yeah, I think Peach, but I think the original.
But that would have been good. Here's how they missed the mark. I mean, here's the thing, right? These are video game characters. So they have very little in the way of story or personality. You know, they just jump high. Here are their two traits. One, they jump high. Two, they wear red and green. And they switched in the movie which one wears red and which one wears green. For
but
most
didn't
they
of switch it. Back at some
they
point?
Eventually got it right. But it was weird.
How many times they brought up mushrooms and did not once eat a mushroom and become big?
It's like, yeah, that's their third thing, is that they eat mushrooms and they grow. Okay, we'll get to Sam's segment in a bit, but I will say about this movie, it is hard because this is a weird ass fucking world. I mean, it's fun. It all makes sense in a game. Oh, I'll just collect the coins that are floating around. Oh, I'll just eat the mushroom and grow. Oh, I'll just eat a plant and then I'll shoot fire. Like, this all makes sense when you're playing a game. But it's all just nonsense.
You know what it's like, though? It's kind of like someone saw, what were the Batman films that were kind of silly, but there were the, who's the guy who does Nightmare Before Christmas? The Tim Burton one, right? It was like a silly comic book adaptation, but a little darker, a little funny. I bet they were like, let's do that with Mario Brothers.
Yeah, maybe if we understood the context of the time, like maybe there was some like gritty comic book something going on and they're like, oh, we'll just do that. I don't understand. Here's who might understand is our next segment. Bam.
Time for Sam. The part of the show where Sam comes on and tries to make sense of what the fuck we just saw.
You're putting
Sam,
a lot on your shoulders. I apologize.
That is very fair. I watched this movie with you guys, and at one point my fiance came in and said, what the hell is happening? And I said, you know exactly as much as I do. This movie is so weird. So, Roland Joffe was inspired to make a Mario Brothers movie. He approached Nintendo with the idea.
Who is
and
he?
They based he's a just he's kind of in the movie business. He's best known for at this point The Killing Field. So he's actually
that
like
is different. That is a different film.
Yeah, and just out of the blue, he's like, I want to make a Mario film.
In fairness, I feel like I like to sort of bounce back between emotions too. If I was making, I don't know what that film is.
It's about genocide.
Oh, well, similar
well, this
vibes.
Kind of was too. Yeah.
He was going to devolve the whole world.
That's genocidal.
That's a killing planet.
That's genocide adjacent.
Yeah, exactly. Gen adjacent. Go ahead, Sam.
So he had like this small production company and he went to Nintendo and he's like,
okay, wait. I'm so sorry, Sam. You're going to get interrupted a lot. It already blows my mind that this movie started out as a Mario concept. Like that's, because to me it was like someone wanted to make this weird fantastical thing, like, okay, but let's put a marketable product on top of it.
No.
He's like, Mario is my inspiration.
This started out, yes. He wanted a Mario Brothers movie, boy. Very specifically, and he worked his way up to the head of the Mario industry, Nintendo.
The Mario industry!
I was trying to think of, like, the Mario owner, like, the guy who actually does... I didn't write down his name because I didn't want to try.
Mr. Nintendo.
I didn't want to try and pronounce it and butcher it horribly. So anyway, he went to him and he was like, I have this idea for a movie. And basically, like, he didn't have a lot behind him. He had this very small production company. He had no studio or anything at the moment. And his just like enthusiasm won over Mr. Nintendo. And he signed
just try it. Just say it. What is it?
I'm not gonna try.
Just say it. Just go for it.
I can't. I didn't even write it down because I didn't want to offend. So they actually signed over temporary rights to the character of Mario. And he said to him, like, you can have creative control. And Nintendo was like, nah, we're good.
His
they
name
basically...
is Hiroshi Yamauchi.
Yeah, see, didn't want to try that.
I feel like it's Hiroshi Yamauchi.
Yes, see? It is. Oh, so look at that. Yamauchi.
So although they offered creative control, Nintendo seemed to view this film almost as like an experiment. Kind of like, let's see what the Americans will do with our character. He's so beloved, they can't destroy him. So let's just see what happens.
I have a one interjection. I think Nintendo was in the movie business for a little bit. They had a movie called, I don't know how they were affiliated with the movie exactly, but there was a movie called The Wizard. And I've never seen it, and I want to. But it is essentially a 90-minute Nintendo commercial, is what I hear.
Oh, from 1989.
Anyway, go ahead.
Michael, I don't think that's right. So Nintendo, it was just like a major product placement.
Oh.
So they were not in...
It's an E.T. Rhesus thing.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
So he has now this idea. He has some money from Nintendo, and he has complete and utter rights to the Mario character and all of that world. So he gives it to an Oscar-winning screenwriter named Barry Morrow, who had written at this time Rain Man. And he says, can you write me a screenplay about this? And he comes up, I kid you not, he comes up with a tale of a road trip with the brothers as they overcome not only physical obstacles, but also the obstacles within their own relationship.
So Rain Man.
It was pretty much Rain Man to the point that they nicknamed the screenplay Drain Man.
Wow! I love that.
Needless to say, though, this was not the direction that the studio wanted. So they just were like, no.
That's exactly, okay, next time they make a Mario movie, just do a famous film that's already been made, but then put the Mario Brothers. That seems like a better direction than what we saw.
So then they just brought in a bunch of different screenwriters and ideas, and just nothing was kind of working. And then they meet directors Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jenkins. They're a married couple, and they have actually, like, their inspiration is Tim Burton.
Nice.
They have a history of animation and comic books, and they wanted to focus on a dark comedy quest inspired by the newest Mario game, Super Mario World.
Which was out at the time or not out?
Yes, I think it came out in 1990.
Okay, cool.
It was the latest game.
You guys, I'm still laughing about Train Man.
I'm trying to think of Mario pun movies, and I can't. I got the King's Peach. That's all I got.
that's good. So for dark inspiration, the films that they were kind of inspired by. So just to give you an idea of the vibe.
Jump Dog Millionaire. Go ahead, Sam.
Is Wizard of Oz, Ghostbusters, Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So they were really looking for this dark.
A lot of ingredients in that stew.
That's so many cooks in the kitchen, man.
So, like, dark, but, like, humorous, like, it just, yeah, there's so many writers in this, I can't even get started, like, on who got fired over what. It was just a mess. So that's kind of what they had. And then they had, finally, after all of that, their final product. And they best described it by screenwriter Parker Bennett. Our take on it was that Nintendo interpreted the events from our story and came up with the video game. So they worked backwards. So basically, this movie was meant to be real life events. This happened. And then Nintendo was like, let's make a game about it. And then made Mario World.
Mm-hmm. That actually seems sensible.
Sure.
Yeah. So, as they were working on the screenplay, the studio was also trying to find their video game characters. To put in perspective just how successful they thought this film was going to be, Tom Hanks was brought up as a potential role for Luigi, and he had a few flops in the box office recently, and they thought that he might not have enough appeal for this film.
I mean, in fairness, he does look nothing like Bob Hoskins. Hoskins.
Well, does John
Leguizamo?
No. So, yeah.
So, Luigi would be found in John Leguizamo, who at the time was at Second City. He was more of a comedian actor.
Really?
And he would say about taking the role of the young Italian plumber, quote, you always see a lot of Italians playing Latin people like Al Pacino did in Scarface. Now it's our turn.
Fun.
Yeah, it was such an interesting casting choice to make brothers 40 years apart in age and different races. Like, wow. All right.
So for the role of Mario, Dustin Hoffman and Danny DeVito were considered. Guys, I can't even express to you how successful they thought this movie was going to be.
Oh my gosh. Dustin Hoffman was a high commodity.
Dustin Hoffman and Danny DeVito were considered, but producers thought that the obvious choice was none other than Bob Hoskins. Not interested in starring in yet another kids film. He had already done Hook and he had done Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He's like, I don't want to, I think his exact quote is, I don't want to be Dick Van Dyke. So
that's not a bad place to be.
We just say they turned down Danny DeVito, but Bob Hoskins just does a Danny DeVito. I mean, it's just what his character is in the movie.
They actually, I think they asked Danny DeVito and Danny DeVito said no, but they not only asked him to be Mario, they actually asked him originally to direct too. And he was like, nah, I'm good.
Does he direct?
Yeah, he directs.
Oh, all right.
By the way, actually, this was 93. So Tom Hanks was not good enough to be in their film. Tom Hanks would win for Philadelphia in 93. Just saying.
Wow.
But anyways, okay. I'm a little bitter. I'm bitter for Tom Hanks.
I'm just, it's so hilarious to me. They're watching the Oscars and like, Tom Hanks got it and not Bob Hoskins. For Super Mario. Damn it, Tom, you outfoxed us.
Let's just put this out there that this film is not nominated for any Academy Award.
Oh, okay, shit.
Though, actually, well, okay, we can get into that later. But anyways, so Hoskins is like, no. So the producers just sent him every single screen rewrite until he finally was like, okay, fine, I'll do it.
How did that convince him? That seems like the opposite.
When he signed on, he had no idea the film was based off of a video game character until he mentioned to his son he was doing a movie called The Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, and his son is like,
okay, what the fuck is Bob's thought process? I don't want to do a kid's movie. I don't want to do something weird and silly. Okay, here's the screenplay of what you're actually doing. And he said, okay. Actually, this is magic.
It's like a gritty Wizard of Oz remake that keeps changing. Well, in that case.
And then, like, he told to his son, he's like, oh, I'm doing this movie called Super Mario Brothers. And his son, like, brought him over to his own Nintendo console where the game was and was like, that's what you're doing.
Oh, God. I'm just thinking of someone who thought, like, oh, yeah, it's just a movie about two plumbers. Like a totally cool original concept.
Remember that classic tale? You know, it's one of those.
Right.
It's going to be in that genre.
You know, it's like man versus man, man versus nature, and two plumbers going on a quest to an alternate dimension.
Yeah.
The classic stories.
I am so glad you guys are enjoying these facts because it's been killing me not sharing them with them all week. So as for the film's villain, both Arnold Schwarzenegger and Michael Keaton were considered for
those
the role.
Are literally the biggest actors in the early 90s.
I'm not kidding when I said they thought this was going to be the best movie ever. Before Dennis Hopper signed on to play Koopa.
That's still a get. I mean, yeah, Dennis Hopper's a guy.
That's a get. But like, that's like if they produced it now and they're like, let's get all the actors of the Avengers.
Hold on. The Rock was in a Rampage movie recently. So that's not that absurd.
Yeah, that's actually not that crazy. That's a good point, Mike.
And Rampage, no one even knows what that is.
Oh, I know what that is.
Yeah.
So you guys have seen what we've all been through already with this plot, right? Mm-hmm. Now, after the screenplay was completed and the cast was well cast, another big thing happened. Disney purchased the film's distribution rights. Once again, this was going to be a big deal. Disney bought it. Normally, you'd be excited about this news, but the producers became nervous that the script was too dark to be considered a family-friendly film. Because remember, Disney, family-friendly. Also, just throwing this out there, it's about a video game that kids play, so maybe kids should like it. And at this point, this plot has been really turned dark and gritty. So, without telling the directors or the cast, the producers hired yet new screenwriters to doctor the finished screenplay, and no one found out until they had already arrived to film the movie.
Oh my God, I have so many questions. It's like, Wow. What was the original concept?
So although frustrated by this move, the directors decided that they needed to make the film because it was just too far along. You couldn't bring in new directors. And also they like commented like how it was too intricate and no one else would be able to understand it, which I think is actually fair.
So, I don't understand it. Yeah. And I've seen it.
So Bob Hoskins was convinced on the quality of the screenplay, which was rewritten without his knowledge until he came to set.
Hold on. So although they weren't happy, they like kept inserting their own stuff to just like whatever they wanted. Like they would insert their own things. And then on top of it, like they also had a screenwriter on set who would rewrite scenes the day of.
So wow. This all just checks out.
This is just not surprising. The hottest mess you've ever seen.
Yep, that's the movie I saw.
Now, the actors at this point realized how bad the film was going to be. It did take them till this point, but at this point, they've talked in. They're like, this is going to be bad. So they handled the situation by constantly being drunk on set.
That is also not surprising.
Yeah, I mean, we did see that. We knew that beforehand, that was the fact.
If you know that fact, you're like, oh yeah, they are definitely a little soft.
Like, right to now. The point where they were almost getting jealous of their partying with each other. Like, normally it was Hoskins and Leguizamo. Like, getting drunk together, but at one point, because they had given Hoskins, like, this fancy mansion to live in, so he would go home at night, like, and Leguizamo would go out and, like, smoke pot with other people, and then Hoskins would be like, you guys smoke pot without me? Like, so a little, like, they were all just, like, getting just shit-faced. Like, this was just a huge, because they knew.
That's appropriate, yeah.
They knew this was going to be bad, so they're like, let's just have a hell of a time while we're at it.
Wow.
So
poor Hoskins. It's like, I just wanted the gritty plumber film.
So during one scene, Leguizamo. Thank you. Got behind the wheel of the van while drunk, and his jerky movements caused the van's door to slam onto Hoskins' hand, causing his finger to break. And through the rest of the film, Hoskins had to wear a cast that was painted pink to look like his hand.
Wow.
This film experience.
Hold on. It's really funny that I had no idea. So like, because Mara's not on screen that much. I mean, it doesn't even feel like the main character of the movie.
You're also being visually assaulted all the time while watching this film.
That's a better point.
So I could get into some really interesting facts, like how this was actually filmed in an abandoned cement factory, so they all had to wear masks because it was toxic in the air and stuff like that. But let's move past all of that, and let's just listen to some quotes from the actors on how they felt the movie was. So this is from Hopper. Quote, it was a nightmare, very honestly, that movie. It was a husband and wife directing team that were both control freaks and wouldn't talk before they made decisions. Anyways, I was supposed to go down there for 5 weeks and I was there for 17. It was so over budget. Wow. And this is from Hoskins. It was a fucking nightmare. The whole experience was a nightmare. It was a husband and wife team directing whose arrogance had been mistaken for talent. After so many weeks, their own agent told them to get off the set. Fucking nightmare. Fucking idiots. And finally from Leguizamo. It's 8-year-olds who play the game, and that's where the movie should have been aimed. But the directors kept trying to insert new materials. They shot scene with strippers. Actually, in the scene where they're at the club, those were real strippers that they brought in.
Okay, of course, yeah.
Authenticity, yeah.
Oh, well, this now feels like a turtle dimension.
And with other sexually explicit content, which all got edited out anyways, he would also tell the story about how one time the director Morton poured hot coffee on an extra's head because he didn't like the extra's costume.
Oh,
what the fuck? They don't decide their costumes.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Anyway. I gotta go back to this because. It feels like in the timeline of this movie going badly, it's like, well, because Disney came in and made it family friendly. It's not like this movie would have been better if it was rated R. If there were some fucks and some boobs, and some, like, this is a movie now.
Here we go.
Can we just make it clear that at no point this movie was going to be good?
Yeah.
Right. That's my point.
Yeah. Maybe when it was Drain Man, but
that's with that guy, Dustin Hoffman.
But anyway. Yeah. So the movie was released on May 28th, 1993. The film had a budget of $48
million. That's a lot of millions.
It would make an amazing, let's be honest, $25 million in the box office.
Oh, no.
So a few years later, Hopper would talk about why he made this film. And he would say, quote, "I made a picture called Super Mario Brothers, and my six-year-old son said, 'Dad, I think you're probably a pretty good actor. But why did you play that terrible guy, King Koopa, in Super Mario Brothers?' And I said, 'Well, Henry, I did that so that you could have shoes.' And he said, 'Dad, I didn't need shoes that badly.'"
Wow.
For the record, I'm not talking about Samantha Mathis, who played Princess Daisy, because she's just been pretty nice about it. She's like, "Oh, sometimes people recognize me as Daisy, and that's really sweet because you just want to touch people." So that's why.
That's not funny. That's not funny.
Yeah, yeah. She's just very nice about the whole thing. But anyways, so it seems like the directors, since this movie has come out, have both defended their film and blamed the studio and the actors for the problems.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing about this is that they seemed convinced that the film is now has a cult following, such as that of Rocky Horror Picture Show and The Room. However, like, The Room is, like, the following behind The Room is that it's so bad that, like, they do viewings of it, and they do, like, they made a movie about making it. Like, it's, like, a big thing. However, it doesn't seem like this movie actually has any fans to make it a cult classic. No. It's just, like, a bad movie. It does not have a cult following. They mention it in a lot of things, like, "Oh, this is a cult movie now." And it's like, it's actually not.
I'll defend them on two accounts. That one, there are weirdly some super fans of this film. As I said to you guys before you get on the call, the only way you can get the film is you have to buy a DVD that's really expensive on Amazon. And it is rated, that product, 4.5 stars of people who like that movie. And the second thing I will say is, like, in a way, it has a elevated status of how badly this can go wrong. And if so, I was trying to look for reviews of the film, and every time a video game movie comes out, it's compared to this movie. So that's
okay. That's fair.
And Mario is still very, very popular today.
So, okay, so that's actually the thing. So, like I said, Nintendo just kind of gave Mario to America and said, "Yeah, you want to make a movie? Sure, have fun. You can have everything with our character. We'll see what happens." So, my final fact for you today, how does Nintendo feel about this game? Well, according to Mario's creator, quote, "In the end, it was a very fun project that they put a lot of effort into. The one thing I still have some regrets about is the movie may have tried to be a little too close to the Mario Brothers video games. And in a sense, it became a movie that was about a video game rather than just being an entertaining movie in and of itself." So they're just very nice about it. But it does seem like it almost kind of kept them away from it, because this would be the one and only Nintendo movie until, that's your question of the week.
Oh, Pokemon.
Fuck, that's right. There's no Donkey Kong movie. I don't know. Okay, I'm just
Make Tomb Raider, right?
No.
Yeah.
So this movie is 1993, and like you mentioned, Tomb Raider, I mean, Legos has done a bunch of stuff. They would not do another Nintendo's movie until 2019 with, yes, Detective Pikachu.
But they made other Pokemon movies.
Yeah, there was a Pokemon movie in theaters before then. It was animated.
Yeah.
Oh.
I took Michael.
And so, here's a fact. I think there is a Mario movie in the works.
There's been a rumor about it.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a sequel thing, and they've been talking about it for a while, like
a
since 2000 something, since 2014.
I hope they build a different world. I hope they're not trying to. Like,
yeah, Bob Hoskins is dead. He can't even do
they
that.
They need to keep it within this universe.
I think it's an animated thing, like from DreamWorks. Anyway, that's it. That was Bam.
It's Time for Sam.
Very good, Sam. All right,
let's see what the creeps have to say. Not Peter Bradshaw. The only time I got Peter Bradshaw was when he wrote a scathing review of the Pokemon film and compared it to Mario in that review.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. All right. So it's got a 24% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is actually higher than I thought it would be.
It's pretty high.
But, you know, remember the way that Rotten Tomatoes does it is it's either fresh or rotten. And sometimes it's kind of like, that wasn't the worst piece of shit I've ever seen can be a fresh. So yeah. It's like, it's not the greatest metric.
Anyway. Can I just say, I have not read any of these. I'm more excited for the critic reviews.
Yeah, they were interesting. Scenery rushes by, noises blare, characters pop up wearing new costumes that they couldn't possibly have time to change into as they eluded their adversaries, says Carrie Rickey of the Philadelphia Inquirer. Which, Michael, quite like you picking apart the Devolver,
yeah.
Like... I feel like...
I think there are bigger problems.
Yeah, it's a bit forest for the trees situation.
What do they call that? The sort of costume manager?
I don't know. Wardrobe?
There's a person who kind of makes sure that from take to take, things are kind of lining up.
Oh, continuity?
Yeah, continuity director. I think that's a thing. Mara didn't have one. Yeah. Anyway, this is by Aaron, who writes for Amazon Reviews. This pile does not even deserve one star. It has nothing to do with Super Mario Bros. And the disgusting putrid, nice use of putrid, story must have been cobbled together from the scrappings off the bottom of a garbage can. This has got to be the biggest spot on Nintendo history besides Castlevania 2. Stay far away. You have been warned.
What's Castlevania 2?
So Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest was a Nintendo game that was notoriously very, very difficult and weird and bad.
Got it. The script supervisor does continuity on set. Cool. So that's a fun little fact. This is from Michael Wilmington of the Los Angeles Times. Ultimately, it's one more stop in the arcade, beckoning, waiting to soak up time and money. Now, as an example... That was a fresh review. So
I see. Okay, this is by Mr. Swain. It was bought due to fond memories of the movie from childhood. Watching it as an adult, yikes, it's terrible.
Like their video game counterparts, co-star Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo somehow managed to weave their way past threatening obstacles and escape with their dignity, says
Did
Mark
they?
Caro of the Chicago Tribune.
I don't know, Mark.
Oh, wait. That was the fresh review, yeah.
Ah, Mark. Yeah, gosh.
I don't think they had their dignity at the end of that.
All right. This the last one is by Karen Billingsley. Cool name. It was a worse movie than I thought, and I thought it was going to be crap to begin with.
See, now, you're reading those, you're like, those aren't very fun one-star reviews. There weren't a lot. I think people just really know what they're getting into when they, like, buy a $40 DVD
well,
of this film.
Well, I mean, it's a cult film.
That's a cult film.
So what are you going to do?
So why don't we tell everyone at home what this movie is about?
Hey, I'll say... I enjoyed this opening because I wanted a spectacularly bad film, and this beginning just looks so bad. I think everyone on the movie understood that they were making a video game movie, but didn't understand what the Mario games looked like. So it just looks like really weird, bad, pixelated dinosaur graphics.
Yes.
Anyway.
And we got the music, which is fun.
The music is great. They didn't ever play the music again.
No, that was also disappointing. All right, so the beginning of the movie has this weird 8-bit animation, and it's like 65 million years ago, and the meteorite crashes Earth. Everyone knows this, right? Kills us the dinosaurs. But what you guys didn't know at home is it also created two parallel dimensions.
Obviously.
And the surviving dinosaurs, like monkeys... by the way, this movie does not understand evolution.
No.
So, yeah, in the other dimension, that's where the dinosaurs went. And the dinosaurs evolved into humans, but different, or a humanoid race. And we evolved from monkeys. But you guys, we did not evolve from monkeys. Monkeys and us have a common ancestor. Anyway.
I would hate to leave out the fact that they discover a baby in the egg in like this church with all these nuns.
That's the next paragraph.
In the present. No, because that says in the present. This is all in the past.
Well, okay, yeah. This was like, so 65 million years ago. And then it's like... 20 years ago.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Okay, so yeah, in the present, a mysterious woman leaves a large egg along with a rock at a Catholic orphanage. And like, who are those actors playing the nuns? They're like, this makes sense.
they were like not that shocked that a baby came out of that egg.
Oh, one of these. That's what they said.
Oh, it's a baby. All
right. Oh, it's that time
of
day.
That's how they can be made sometimes, I'm sure.
But as she attempts to leave, she is accosted by King Koopa. Wait, who am I talking about? A mysterious woman. But as she attempts to leave, she is accosted by King Koopa, who demands the location of the rock. Rocks then fall onto the woman, killing her. The egg then hatches, containing an infant girl.
To the surprise of no one. And when he says, I need the rock, or that the baby has the rock, it's like a purple crystal that you would get at a National Geographic store, right? That's what it looks like. So then we're 20 years later. Italian-American plumbers Mario and Luigi live in Brooklyn. I have so much to say about this.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Mario Brothers Plumbing, no leak too big, which sure. They have on their wall plungers hung up the way you would mount a fish.
Okay, this movie's not good, but I like that. Like, that's fun.
I did like that.
Like, I don't like that ironically. I just enjoy that they do that.
I really like, you say he's doing a Danny DeVito. I say he's doing like a fucking Newsies accent.
I mean, that's,
hey, Brooklyn over here.
And now do your Danny DeVito.
I'm Danny DeVito over here.
See the similarities. Very similar.
I see it. You know what, Michael? I'm hearing it. So they're on the verge of being driven out of business by the Scapellis, which is crazy, you guys. It is like, I think it is impossible not to make money if you're a decent plumber. And the movie establishes they are very good. Well, Mario's a very good plumber and Luigi's his apprentice. Are they definitely brothers? Yes, right?
Yeah, they're brothers. Oh, no, wait. He was raised as an orphan.
I don't know. Maybe they're both orphans because their parents are. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Hold on. Here's something else I'm confused about. Doesn't the whole Scampelli thing go nowhere? Don't they die?
I don't know. It kind of comes back, but not in a way that they needed to spend a lot of time.
They spent a lot of time. I mean, Mario's only like feeling or motivation in this movie is that he doesn't like Scapelli. And then that just kind of goes away.
The best part is, so they have to rush to get to the job so they could beat the Scapellis, which they don't. And Chad Leguizamo gets the truck. He's like, I'm driving. He's like, whoa, slow down, kid. That's it. And he's just like driving so normally.
You gotta just follow your instincts. You gotta live your dreams. And he's just like driving. And they're like playing like kooky like cartoon music. And they're like, what are you doing? And they're just like driving down the road.
It's clearly actually filmed in Brooklyn. And they're just driving like the normal speed limit.
Luigi, you're going crazy!
Oh man, Hotshot!
It was a very great scene showing the relationship between these brothers.
So then we meet the NYU student Daisy. And for those who don't know, Daisy is Luigi's girlfriend in the video game. So that's real. And she's digging under the Brooklyn Bridge for dinosaur bones. And she has some lines like, don't you see this dinosaur was trying to be human? It's like, fucking what? what?
Well, they saw that the dinosaur had like written with his finger, I want to be human, in the dirt, and they're like, oh, they wrote it down.
I love
how they're like dusting away the bones in the dirt and it is just in the shape of a whole skeleton. Like they didn't find a piece of a bone. They just found the whole thing.
It was just laid out quite nicely.
They're like, oh, nice discovery we made. All right. So also Luigi loves Daisy now. Just immediately.
John Leguizamo is a cutie in this film.
He's a cutie.
But again, he looks like he's like 18 and Bob Hoskins looks like 60. And they both have equally hot young girlfriends, but it's fine.
After a date, Daisy takes Luigi back to the bridge, only to witness two of Scapelli's men sabotaging it by leaving the water pipes open.
It's a good thing they were introduced then.
Yes, Mario and Luigi manage to fix it, but are knocked unconscious by Iggy and Spike, who in the games, by the way, are then one of two of the names of Bowser's children.
Oh, thank
you, Super Mario World, you fight against eight of the children, like eight bosses, and two of them are Iggy and Spike.
Oh.
Koopa's henchmen and cousins who kidnap Daisy. Mario and Luigi awaken and pursue them through an interdimensional portal that leads them to Dino Hatton. Did they say Dino Hatton in the film?
I was wondering that too. When I wrote this out, I'm like, Dino Hatton is phenomenal, and I do not remember them saying that one time.
There's a lot of jokes in this movie that fall flat. All they had to do is say the word Dino Hatton to the camera, and that would have been a good joke.
I'm pretty, yeah. There's some good jokes, though, you know?
We'll see.
Oh, man. I do love in this movie that they really commit to them being plumbers. Like, that is really important all the time.
But they don't commit to them being characters, right? Like, no, I still don't feel like Mario is even the main character of the film.
No, no. But they commit to them being plumbers, having different disparate talent at plumbing, and needing to plumb.
Also, Luigi likes Daisy. That's the end.
We did it. So Iggy and Spike, they kidnap Daisy, but they didn't get her rock, which is what is the rock, you guys? It's a meteorite fragment. And boy, are you gonna, this movie's gonna make sense now. They need to put that one tiny fragment back into the original meteorite that killed the dinosaurs and made two dimensions. Why? Because then the dimensions will come back together magically.
Yeah. I really... I'm still laughing at that this movie is an assault on your eyes that you said. Because at this point, we're going to spend the rest of the movie on Dino Hatton. And boy, is it ugly. This is an ugly-ass movie.
Yeah. Also, Daisy's a long-lost princess. Koopa, you're a bad guy, Dennis Hopper, overthrew Daisy's father, the king, and devolved him into a fungus, which is, he's, I guess, growing everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother, the queen, took her to Brooklyn, and now she's dead. Yeah, Michael, for the folks at home who haven't seen this, can you explain the aesthetic of Dino Hatton?
Yeah, it's like a underground sewer Chuck E. Cheese. You know, I don't really know how to describe it other than that. But neon, also. Nightclub underground Chuck E. Cheese.
Nightclub underground Chuck E. Cheese. I think I went with silly Blade Runner.
Well, that just sounds fantastic. I mean, I do kind of like the ugliness. It is ugly, yeah, but it is kind of cute.
Do you remember, Michael, that we were chatting while watching the movie, and you mentioned like 8 times how cute you thought their truck was?
Oh, I thought their truck was adorable.
But like nobody was picking up on it, so you kept bringing up like, are we going to talk about how cute this truck is?
Well, I just want you guys to hear my great bit.
Anyway, so sorry, we're in Dino Hatton.
We're in Dino.
I'm going to say 8 million times.
This one?
Yeah.
The portal was then closed, but Scapelli's men inadvertently reopened the portal when they blasted the cave. Koopa sends Spike and Iggy to find Daisy and the rock to...
Wait. So the plot rests on kidnapping Daisy, and it seems like a plan Dennis Hopper's had for a long time. But it just sort of accidentally happened that the portal opened. And it accidentally happened in a way that, like, it seems really easy to open a portal, actually.
Well, it was easy to open from the Earth side.
Uh-huh. It just seems like so accidentally this thing he's been planning on for many, many years just came in.
Well, anyway, wake up to movies, you know? I mean,
that's... I guess.
Koopa sends Spike and 85 Daisy to Rodman and merge dimensions to make a dictator of both worlds. However, after Koopa suggested them to one of the experiments to make them more intelligent, Spike and Iggy realize Koopa's evil intentions and side with the Mario Bros in the desert. How funny were Iggy and Spike once they were intelligent?
They just seemed to use a lot of big words.
And boy, that was the joke.
That was pretty funny. You guys, I cannot let this go, how bizarre the visuals are. I think a lot of listeners have seen Mario Brothers games, and there are these little angry mushroom men, the little Koopas, and they saw this, and the art director said, okay, I see what you're trying to do. What if we had large men with teeny tiny lizard heads on it? Isn't that kind of the same idea?
Oh boy, is it
just
ugly.
Something to haunt your dreams. It's like such a choice.
I think also Why? Something that makes this movie a little bit weird is the casting of Dennis Hopper. Because my understanding is he's kind of a serious actor. If you'd got someone like Tim Curry who could just really dish it up, would have made sense, you know?
Yeah, Dennis Hopper was not campy enough.
Right, which you really, I think, was a central ingredient that was missed out on.
Yeah. Because sometimes he would try to do funny bit. I don't know. I didn't believe him.
Right.
This might be my favorite Dennis Hopper movie, but.
I might be. I mean, I only know Easy Rider.
And Apocalypse Now.
And
he was in Speed. He was the bad guy in Speed. I probably like Speed better.
Oh, yeah. Speed's great.
Yeah. Okay, my second favorite Dennis Hopper film. So Daisy is taken to Koopa Tower, which Koopa Tower is just one of the World Trade Center towers, but in Dinohattan. Mm-hmm. we also have to talk about, like, these two worlds, because, again, I feel like there was a lot of work put into, like, the world building.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's just exactly the same as our world.
I never understood. It's a hard movie to watch because you never really understand where you are or what's going on.
Well, yeah, sometimes it's like, okay, actually it's just the exact same buildings as Manhattan, but it's dark out. And also they have red fire hydrants. Like, it's just the same. Or fire extinguishers.
But yeah,
they have the same exact fire codes. That's what I was getting at.
When they first arrive in Dinohattan, I think this is the cement factory set. Because it all looks clearly indoors.
Yeah.
So everything just looks like, are they out? Is this a street even? Like, I can't even tell what this is supposed to be.
Right. Also, it seems like, so there was created two dimensions, but they kind of mentioned that there's Dinohattan and then surrounding desert where nobody lives. And that is the entire world.
Mm. It's weird.
Sure.
Yeah. No suburbs.
Anyway. So Daisy's in Koopa Tower where she meets Yoshi, who's very cute. He's a cute little dinosaur.
You say cute. I mean, I've seen cute dinosaurs. He just kind of looked like a small dinosaur.
Yeah, he was not Yoshi.
Yeah.
If that's your point.
He does get kicked and stabbed in the movie, which I thought was a bold choice.
Yeah, that was weird. So Koopa informs Daisy that she's descended from dinosaurs, believing only Daisy can actually put the stone back because of her royal heritage. Man, what a plot. So eventually, the Mario Brothers rescue Daisy with the help of Toad, a good-natured guitarist, and then he's devolved into a Goomba. Oh, sorry, Goomba is the name of those little weird small head things.
Can I be honest with you? I literally do not remember Toad the guitarist.
He was the first person we saw devolved because I got confused because David was watching with me. He's like, oh, they just killed Toad right away. And I'm like, wait, that was that guy? Happened real fast.
Eventually, the two worlds merge and Koopa devolves Scabelli into a chimpanzee before going after Mario. But Luigi and Daisy manage to remove the fragment from the meteorite and the worlds separate again. What? In Dinohattan, Mario confronts Koopa and eventually defeats him when he and Luigi fire their devolution guns on Koopa and blast him with a ba-bomb.
Oh, Michael, that's what he got, the devolution guns. That's how he was doing it. People didn't have to sit in the chair. I thought the little ba-bomb was very cute.
Mm-hmm. They're much bigger in the games. It was the wrong size.
Don't they have little ones sometimes?
Not little ones in your hand. Come on.
Okay, fair enough. But again, you would not devolve into a chimpanzee. That's nonsense. Mm-hmm. But it's fine. Oh my God. And there were some special effects in this movie that looked terrible in the way early 90s stuff does, but were clearly very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And did not add anything to the film. So it's like, they probably spent $1 million on special effects just to make the movie worse. So now Koopa's transformed into a semi-humanoid Tyrannosaurus Rex, obviously.
Obviously.
So he attempts to kill the Mario Brothers, and they destroy him once and for all by devolving it into a T-Rex and then slime. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, Dennis Hopper dying made Daisy's father just turn back into human. And then he controls the kingdom. And the mushroom stuff, Michael. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, what a tease, right? Like, they're going to eat it and grow at any point. No.
There's more than one scene.
There's like eight scenes.
Yeah. Where where John Leguizamo looks at mushroom like, I think the fungus is trying to talk to me. I think this is safe. I think these mushrooms are going to... And it never does.
I mean, it does lead to the father, right? Because the father is, or the king is the mushrooms.
Then why bring up the mushrooms at all?
The citizens celebrate after and immediately destroy anything under Koopa's influence. Hold on. Okay, so Koopa's a dictator, but all the signs say vote Koopa? What's with that?
I know. And it's like, so I guess they just went back to a real dictatorship?
Yeah, I mean, what's with that?
I don't know, man. I can't.
Okay, Luigi professes his love for Daisy and wants her to come to Brooklyn with him, but Daisy cannot come until the damage caused by Koopa is repaired, and thus she wants to spend more time with her father.
But Luigi's really sad. They kiss goodbye. He and Mario return. Did we talk about the fact that their names are Mario Mario and Luigi Mario?
Again, anyway. Credit to the movie. I think that's good. I think that's good that they did that. That's a good decision.
You thought that was a good decision.
Well, because that's like the canon, and that's like, well, let's just play it up. It'll be like a fun joke, and we don't have to dwell on it.
I did not know that was canon. Oh, I guess because they're the Mario Brothers.
They're the Mario Bros, and his name is Mario. What are you going to do?
That's very funny. But then, 3 weeks later, when the Mario Brothers are getting ready for dinner, when the story comes on the news, the Anchorman says they should be called the Super Mario Brothers. Daisy then arrives and asks the Mario Brothers to help her on a new mission. So it's like, ooh, sequel.
This is barely worth mentioning, but in a post-credit scene, do Japanese business executive propose making a video game based on Iggy and Spike, now trapped on Earth, who decide the title should be called Super Koopa Cousins. Fantastic. I'm very happy with how much we didn't talk about, because I feel like we missed a lot, which is fine.
It's totally fine.
What's even more fine is our next segment called Bro Call, where we talk to our brother John. John, are you there?
Hey, bro.
Hey,
how you doing?
Have you seen, this is a weird question, have you seen the film Super Mario Bros. From 1993?
I mean, I saw it with you just a couple days ago.
Oh, you were there. So what do you think about it?
Right. So from a high level, there are two very distinct ways of looking at this movie.
You know the games, right? You're familiar with
it. And the first is from the games, from the fact that this movie is literally called Super Mario Brothers. And if you look at it from an angle of knowing one goddamn thing about the Mario Brothers, oh my god.
You guys, John was so mad like
everything.
At like how it was not faithful to the game. Like
well, it's just out the low quality.
It's not a question of faithfulness. It's a question that they even try. Because there's the second way of looking at this movie where you don't know one thing about the Super Mario Brothers, or better yet, this movie isn't called the Super Mario Brothers, and they're not Mario Mario and Luigi Mario, and they don't wear those stupid costumes, and there's not a bomb scene, and it's not called Toad and King Koopa and whatever, and it's just a fucking crazy acid trip movie? That movie is terrible and overstuffed, but it's infinitely better. Infinitely better.
John, remember when they had rocket boots so they could jump real high? Like in the game?
That explains why they jump.
I'm going to focus on the second of these movies.
Did they ever get
if
coins?
If you look at this movie from a Mario Brothers standpoint, it will literally drive you to drink. Because...
John, I disagree so hard. There's so many things about this movie before you even get to that. Like, at least you get to laugh at how silly it is that they shoved that in there.
I mean, even taking the second movie on itself, this movie is wildly overstuffed with insane ideas.
They tried clearly to do so much.
They had like multiple different people figuring this movie out because
Sam went into that with us. John, perfect. You might be surprised to learn though that from the beginning this was a Mario Brothers film. Like this is not something that was shoved into another script.
That would surprise me, to be perfectly honest, because it seems like there's 10 different scripts that get merged together.
Well, yeah, no, that did happen. But
oh, okay, so there you go.
That'll be fun for your listening pleasure.
Just thinking about the number of concepts that they throw out there is just radical. Like, I love world building in movies, and this movie, to its credit, tries really hard.
Well, John, I think I was making the point that sometimes it feels like they're trying really hard, and sometimes it feels like they are really phoning it in.
Honestly, even the parts that they're phoning in, I thought they were trying simply too hard.
Remember how the cars in Dino Hatton are like bumper cars that attach to wire, but then they're just actually normal cars and that has nothing to do with anything.
No, it did. They literally had a whole world building bit about how electricity is transmitted in Dino Hatton. That was literally a whole concept that they introduced as a plot point. Because when the cars went to the desert, they couldn't drive anymore because they went off the electric grid. That was a whole concept that was developed, explored, and paid off, in air quotes.
There were
so many things like
that. But then later in the film, they don't need to attach the electrical grid to drive the car.
It's a Lord of the Rings situation. Like, you gotta read the books.
They literally developed a police force and military force separately, and his agents, and they all had roles to play and plot lines, and oh my god,
we didn't even mention how they defeated the Goombas by one time John Leguizamo made them dance together.
Uh-huh.
So then he immobilized them by making them dance again.
Which is like, oh, that must be from the
multiple times.
You're like, oh, that must be from the game.
Part of their story.
Remember when Mario has to get the rock back from a woman that they call fat a lot, which was not cool, and he has to like seduce her on the dance floor,
and her robbing him in the first place because
so
she was a whole character with a plot line that made no sense with rocket boots,
right,
and dance club.
He seduces her, gets the rock back, and then they're best friends.
After he subs his face in her breasts, I think.
Can I insert a fact about Bertha? Her name's Bertha.
Of course, her name is Bertha.
They added her to try and make the movie more feminist.
No! Fuck off!
So, I was thinking about this actually during that nightclub scene. Think about the number of elements at play in that nightclub scene, and they tried hard at all of them.
There's, oh my god! Sorry, go on.
The scenery, the costuming, the number of extras that they had, the rocket boots, the police, the surveillance, the Goombas, all of this in a like throwaway nightclub scene where I'm just sitting here thinking, I mean, at that point, it was so late in the movie that I was able to separate my brain from Mario's. I'm just thinking to myself, they're trying so fucking hard, and it's so terrible.
Do you guys remember? So they accidentally kidnap Mario's girlfriend first, and then for some reason they kidnap a lot of other hot Brooklyn women. Why did that happen? It's just like, you know, so you got a bunch of girls talk like this who are just like, you know, oh my god, and why?
And
why
then they sled on a mattress down the pipe. You got to have a scene like that in a movie.
That scene.
Sledding down the pipe.
That wasn't even one of like the 20 concepts I was thinking of complaining about this.
And Michael, the plumbing came back because he had his plumber's tool belt.
I mean, we're saying all this, and we haven't even talked about Aunt Petunia in the movie.
Oh my god!
That is true.
If people have not seen Harry Potter, the actress who plays Aunt Petunia is Koopa's
henchman.
Lady.
Super unclear. She has a whole through line, and I don't understand what else of it.
She like has a different plan from King Koopa, but I don't remember what it is.
And she introduces a lot of concepts about the world and has her own motivations, which are never fully explored, but definitely introduced.
She brought the camp, which is good.
She has her own dramatic ending, which then is called back to.
Yeah, it feels like she actually would have been a better main villain than Dennis Hopper.
Honestly, thinking back to this movie, I'm wondering how it's not 4 hours long.
I gotta feel a little drunk just trying to talk about
There are so many concepts at play, and they're all batshit crazy.
Remember?
If this movie wasn't called Super Mario Brothers, I would have enjoyed that. That would have been fun. As it was, I was just super angry the whole time.
John, what was your favorite joke?
There was a part where I said, this is so funny. Oh, that's right. I said that multiple times. It has to be the two stupid yet
later
smart twins who just had the worst jokes together. Clearly, they were meant to be the funny pair. Who, again, had their own plot line, their own concepts. Oh, my. And they were like, what, good guys at the end?
Remember, Remember when Mario and Luigi, they see the plumbing and they're like, oh, these pipes are all messed up. And then Luigi goes, must have not been a union job.
Okay, that was absolutely my favorite joke. I remember that now. And props for remembering it, you know, too. Oh, my Lord.
They first cross the universe and Mario goes, where are we? And Luigi goes, I don't know, Mario. Haven't been to Manhattan in a few weeks.
Okay, that was also pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. Uh-huh. Sorry, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, they... I think back to those sets and just like how much world building they tried.
It is, yeah. I think I use the word, this movie is surprisingly ambitious.
Yes, yes, that is definitely a way to put it. Though we do have to talk about the fact that apparently Dino Hatton or Dino World is a democracy.
John, unclear, unclear.
Right. The campaign posters are everywhere, right?
Yeah, on the one hand, he's a dictator, but on the other hand, he just has an office at the local police station. It's kind of off to the side.
John, see, now that's actually a really good microcosm of your point, where they, like, knocked up this one poster that was kind of funny of Dennis Hopper creepily holding a baby and, like, vote for Koopa. He'll make your life better. And it's so weird and so high concept, but it makes no fucking sense.
That's the good
word. There's no election.
Like, this movie is high concept, and it does not stick that landing.
All right, Chad, what grade do you give it?
Oh God, I'm gonna give it. You know what? I'm gonna give it a D-, and I'm just giving it that just for the effort, because this movie brought a lot of, not the acting, from the creation standpoint. This movie brought a lot of effort to the table.
A lot of effort. Odd stuff.
John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Michael,
I hate you guys for making me watch this movie, by the way.
That was fun.
Oh, my Lord.
Michael, remember when there was like a joke through line of Koopa ordering a pizza? And then he says, so when's my pizza get here? Like four times? And then that's it? Like that's the whole joke? That he would order a pizza? A
lot of stuff going on. Clayne, what do you... Clayne, what do you grade the film Super Mario Bros.?
You know what? I thought having this whole discussion with you and doing a podcast, I would more firmly know how I feel about this movie. And I'm just more confused than ever because I haven't had this much fun in a long time thinking about a film. But it is objectively one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Right. This talking about it is more fun definitely than seeing the film.
You know what, though? It isn't that boring. Like, I think that's the cardinal sin of a really bad movie. It's when it's just, you can't get through because it's so boring. It's just very confusing and weird. And
I think you're underestimating how fun it is to watch in a group. If you had to watch this by yourself and you were under no obligation.
True. All right, so I'm going to give it a D because I kind of agree with John. I think it should get 2 bump ups for effort and nonsense. And boy, what a gift to the world.
I got to tell you, honestly, I love the Mario franchise. If this movie was just an hour of an image of Mario, I probably would have liked it. And I also like bad movies. I like trashy movies. But this movie is kind of hard to watch because it is long. It's more than 2 hours long.
No, it's not.
It is. It is. Look it up.
Oh, I thought it was only an hour. Go on. Anyway, sorry.
I mean, if I'm wrong, don't call me out on it. And it's confusing and I don't get it. And Mario is like not even a character really. So it could have been worse and I would have liked it more and I would have given an even higher grade. But there's interesting stuff in here too. Oh, we got to defend it. Call it the best movie and the worst movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's our segment.
Whoops. Yeah. By the way, it's like an hour and a half long. So the fact that it feels more than 2 hours long to you maybe says something. It's 100 minutes.
Okay. That's like 0 minutes. No, I thought... Because we like paused it an hour in and we're like, oh, there's an hour more to go.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Maybe it was 20 minutes of credits.
Okay, an hour 44. You're right. Anyway, why...
Okay, so yeah, why is this the worst... Or why is this the best movie
ever? Is this the best movie ever made? Ambition, as we said.
I like those actors.
I don't really like those actors. I don't like Dennis Hopper. He's so weird.
I liked him in Speed. I really like John Leguizamo. I think he's a very good actor and also very funny. And I really like Bob Hoskins because I like Who Framed Roger Rabbit a lot. Mm-hmm. And I also just love how they leaned in the Brooklyn nonsense. And yeah, I did laugh sometimes. And yeah.
I wondered why the Mario Bros. Could jump. And now I know. They have rocket boots.
And yet they didn't jump on a bad guy one time.
Not one goddamn time. They do like two things to do those things. They didn't get any fucking coins. They didn't eat plants.
I think they mentioned gold coin in a line of dialogue.
Okay.
And because I remember you kind of like perking up like, oh, that didn't go anywhere.
Gold coin? No.
Gold coin? No. All right, why is this the worst movie? Oh, we already said it, guys. It is a fucking fever dream of nonsense. Yeah,
go back and listen to the episode if you want to know more. So I'll give it a D. Yeah, I do, honestly, if it was so bad it's good, like The Room, I mean, I would give it like a higher grade because I like that kind of stuff. But this movie is not that funny on its own, I don't think.
Agreed. I mean, some of it, if it was like an hour long, then maybe. Maybe I would have liked it a lot more for its nonsense. But yeah, it just shouldn't have been a feature-length film.
It shouldn't have been a lot of things.
Well, it shouldn't have existed.
Who's our sponsor? Who's sponsoring this shit?
PepsiCo.
PepsiCo. What do they make?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. They make Pepsi and Diet Pepsi.
Mountain
and,
Dew.
You know, so forth, so on and so forth.
Mountain Dew. Also. Code Red. What are the other flavors of Mountain Dew? There's Baja Blast, exclusive to talk about.
That's one of my favorite jokes ever. If you didn't know anything about soda and someone told you to drink Mountain Dew, what would you expect? Not that. Like, Mountain Dew, it sounds like a lovely tea.
Right. Their original marketing for it was like hillbillies.
Oh, yeah, to cut moonshine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why it's called Mountain Dew. Oh, I like that, actually. That's cool. So it's like for the mountain people.
But now it's like, get your snowboard out because it's Mountain Dew.
Extreme with four X's.
Do you like cherries? No, it's extreme cherry Mountain Dew. what's our next film? Do you want to spin the wheel?
Do you like piss Kool-Aid? Now you can get it in red Mountain Dew. We have a seasonal wheel. Because it is coming up to Christmas time.
It like dings jingle bells as you spin it.
Ho, ho, ho. That also does that. Okay.
It does a lot. Too many noises, honestly. It was like the Mario Brothers movie, trying too many things.
But yet, why didn't they just play the Mario theme over and over again? That would have actually upped my enjoyment. I would have given it a D+ if they like played this theme song too many times.
You know what? While they're driving through Manhattan, they needed funny music. There is like... There's like hectic music.
What the fuck? Nintendo was involved in the making of this. It's not like they couldn't get the rights to the music.
They never ate a goddamn star and became invincible. Like, that's all you do in those games. They never got a life.
They could have been sneaking through the dark like,
they were underground for like the whole fucking movie.
Fuck that. I'm not again.
They should have died and got resurrected by a green mushroom. They should have taken an elevator up and gone above the level so that they could go down the pipe and then skip all the way to World 1-6. If this was a real movie, that's what I would do.
Were we continuing the next movie?
Oh, yeah. What's the next movie?
Okay. Ho, ho, ho. Jingle bell, jingle bell.
That's the song. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell. Christmas, Christmas, jingle bell. All right, kids. Let's sing the song. Jingle bell, jingle bell. All right. Great job, kids. Oh, you followed the sheet music. Exactly. All right, sing up. Your parents are here.
Done it, by the way, instead of just watching me lose.
Our next film is Muppet Christmas Carol. Oh, nice! That's a good holiday treat.
Jingle bell.
We ran out.
All right.
Thank you for joining us. Five stars on iTunes.
Love how John's not muted. And cut.
Humbug. He was the greediest man alive.
It's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Until the night he met someone extraordinary.
Hello.
The Muppet Christmas Carol.
I'll drink to
Mr. Scrooge, even though he is odious, stingy, and badly dressed.
Humbug.
Oh, there goes Mr. Humbug. There goes Mr. Grin.
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here?
They gave a prize for being me. The winner would be him.
Yes, Mr. Cratchit.
If you please, Mr. Scrooge. The bookkeeping staff would like to have an extra shovel full of coal for the fire.
Our assets are frozen.
How would the bookkeepers like to be suddenly
unemployed?
It's Charles Dickens' classic tale. As only the Muppets can tell it.
It's good to be heckling again.
It's good to be doing anything again.
Filled with holiday warmth.
Hey, 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 light the lamp, not the rat. Light the lamp, not the rat.
And Christmas spirit.
Scrooge. Jacob Marley.
Scary stuff. Hey, should we be worried about the kids in the audience?
No, it's all right. This is culture.
This is the movie to see, to share, to cherish with someone you love.
Thank you for making me a part of this.
Walt Disney Pictures presents, from Jim Henson Productions, The Muppet Christmas Carol.
God bless us, everyone.
Whatever.